Do you need a restart? This is my question. This is the big question we're thinking about. So last 2 weeks we talked about encouragement and love, but I believe this next few weeks we're going to talk about restart a lot. And today we're going to start about restarting. We're going to talk about restarting us. So do you need a restart? Here's what I find about COVID-19. It stopped us all in our tracks, didn't it? Now there's been a whole lot of bad with it, but one of the best things about COVID-19, it's given us all an opportunity. This is it, an opportunity to restart, because life stopped. It literally stopped in its tracks. We've said it many times since the start of this year. If anybody had suggested to me that a couple of months ago, over Christmas, that we'd be in lockdown in 2020, no, I would have called you a liar and I would have said, you're cuckoo. But that's what happened. The world went into lockdown. And out of it has come a reset or a restart. And the opportunity is there for us to say, hey, whatever way you lived before doesn't have to be the way that you continue to live now. You could restart. You could take this opportunity and do something different. Live differently. Live a different way. Forgetting about some of the ways you used to live and saying, okay, here's a restart. Here's my opportunity. I'm going to go for it. And so my question to you to grab your attention is, do you need a restart? Because I believe there's a restart here for us. And so as we get into it today, I started to think about, okay, restart. If you're going to restart, it means you've already started. And what could you have started? Well, you could have started the race of life. And the Bible talks about that a lot. Just run your race. What race are you going to run? There's the race of life, and you've got to run that. And Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is what I want us to read today together, because it talks about a race. And let us run with perseverance. So there's a race, and we're running, and we're moving. It talks about perseverance, because we know in life we're going to have troubles. You don't need me to tell you about troubles. We have faced them together and privately. Run the race with perseverance. The race marked out for us. There's a marking out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Now, this is not a Formula One verse. This is not a story about Formula One. If you tuned in, it's just recently restarted. It's not about that. It's not about athletics. It's not about any of that stuff. It's literally about our lives. On our lives, we're on a journey. We're on a race. It's like every day we're going somewhere. Think about it. The world's moving. We're moving. We only stop to rest to get ready to go again. That's kind of the relentless pace of our lives. And before COVID-19 and before all of this lockdown stuff, we were just like, whatever you did is the same thing you did nearly every day. It's like repeat, repeat, repeat. And then suddenly the whole world stopped. And now we're getting to restart again. And the option has been there like never before to restart a different way. And I want to challenge your heart. What if we restarted differently? What if we took this opportunity to run a different race? What if we've been running the wrong race? Let me just put that out there for a moment. What if we have been running the wrong race? Well, then today is a great day to change course and to run after God. So how has your race been? First question, how has your race been? How has your life been? What's it been like? You know, how tough has it been? I mean, we talk about perseverance. We don't need to talk about it too long before we can think of different examples in our lives, because we tend to remember the bad. Oh my goodness, I remember when this happened. I remember when I got this report. I remember when this took place. Sometimes it's much harder to remember the good. We tend to remember the bad. And today I want us to say, hey, what race are you running? Could it be worth changing your race if you're not running the right race? Let me give you two quick things out of Hebrews 12 before we move on today. The first one is marked. Can I tell you that you are marked? You're literally marked with God's call on your life. Now that's incredible and we all know about it. But can I ask you a more serious question? Have you got time in your life for God's call? Because He's got an incredible call on your life. But if you've got no time, then what good is it? So my question is, not has God got a call on your life? He does. It says that right there. You are marked. You're marked by God. He has marked out your life. He's marked out the race of your life. But have you got room in your life for God's calling? That's a big question. And I want us to ponder it today. And I want to let it sit in our hearts, because I don't want you to run the wrong race. And then the second point is this. Let's be real. Let's be real. Was fixing your eyes on Jesus a big deal before? I mean, forget COVID-19, forget lockdown, although that has changed our world forever, and we'll probably forever talk about pre-COVID-19 and post it, especially in those last 100 years anyway. But let's be real. What was your life like before? You know, were we really fixing our gaze on Him? Was He really the main person that we were following? Or was it my life, my things, what I need to get done, and God help me with my life? Or was it, God, where do you want me to go? God, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to follow? Okay, God, you want me to follow you? Okay, where do you want me to go to? You mean there's a big difference from saying we're living like a Christian and then we're living like a Christian. You know what I mean? Our true Christian is following after God. It's like my main focus, my main fixing, the person that I'm fixed on and fixated on is Jesus. How was that before and how is that today? That's an important question for us to think about. This last few months, we've had no athletics, but I was thinking about it. Not like I'm truly athletic, but I've been thinking about it. Because I remembered back to 10K races, or those longer paced races. And I remember back to how it works, and I remember back to this. Because what you would have is, you would have some of the better guys in the field, in the group of runners, and they would start to run, but what they would do is they would run in teams. And you would have some of your team that would go out in front, and what they would do is, if you're gonna run a great race, you need pace setters. There are people that go before you, who you follow, that they won't last as long as you. They went before you, you will come after them, but as you follow them, they will lead you into a great pace, and then at the right time, they will go away, and you will continue on. And it's how a world champion gets a record time. It's how somebody who comes into that race, who has significance, who has calling, realizes, do you know what? I cannot do this race alone. I need people ahead of me. If I'm really going to accomplish the great things that are destined for me, I need pace setters. I need people in front of me. I need people that will go ahead of me and set it up for me. Guys, can I tell you that Jesus has went ahead of us? He is ahead of us, and he's literally saying, follow me. I have set this thing up for you. If you want to run the best race of your life, if you want to live for me, if you want to do great things, if you want to be fully satisfied, if you want your life to be fully significant in all areas, then follow the pace setter, which is Jesus. But even better than that, there's been other people in front of you, other Christians that have decided to lay down their lives to give you a foundation. Imagine that just for a moment. All over the world, Christians that have went ahead of us, those that have been martyred for their faith, those disciples in those early days that literally laid down their lives like Jesus did. And my question today is, what race are you running? And who are you following? Because if we're truly going to run the great race of life that God has set for us, we've got to follow him, because people have laid down. He has laid down. He's already laid down his life to give you a wonderful foundation so you can run true after him. You need others. You need others in the race. You cannot do it alone. You need others in the race of the same type and the same heart that are there for you. That's why God loves the church. That's why we should love the church. Guys, as we restart, let's restart out of selfishness and let's get into selflessness. Let's get into Jesus mode. Let's get into, I'm following after him. He's the only one that I'm fixated after, because he's the only one that counts. What if our lives as Christians haven't included Jesus enough? What if our lives as Christians, we got to be real. What if our lives as Christians haven't included Jesus enough? And now as you're restarting, and now as you've got a restart opportunity, you're going, wow, you're right. You're right. Now, there's no condemnation in this, but what there is conviction, which brings life, because there's more that you can have of him. And you can make that adjustment now, and suddenly you can run after him like never before. Maybe you say to yourself, you know what? Before this, I don't know what it was, but I didn't usually have that much time to read. You know, it was kind of tricky for me to get reading in the week, whether it was like sometimes I didn't have the right version or didn't have the right time or just didn't have the right motivation. I just didn't do much reading. In fact, you know what? I didn't even do much praying. In fact, most weeks I don't have a lot of time to pray. Can I be honest? This convicts me. I feel like I need to pray more, read more, worship more, share the good news more. I need to be after Jesus more. If I'm not, guess what? I'm following the wrong person. Maybe I'm following my dreams. Maybe I'm following somebody else's dreams. Maybe I'm just following life because I think that's the way to go. Can I tell you, when you follow Jesus, you've got time to read, you've got time to pray, you've got time to worship, and you've got time to share the good news. If you're not doing some of those things enough, or you feel you could be doing them more, ask yourself the question, who am I following in my life? Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He's the one that's going to perfect us. He's really the secret ingredient. He is the real deal. He is the main thing. He's what makes us a Christian. We need to be following him. We need a restart. And if you need a restart, this is a great restart opportunity. This is a great time to start changing your race and to start to follow after Jesus like never before. Today, I need a restart. I'm going to claim this restart. Maybe today you need a restart. not just in your life, not just in your work, not just in your relationships, not just in all the different things that you can think of, because they've kind of petered out a bit, or they're kind of not just as interesting as they were before. And of course, you can do that. You can restart in your fitness, restart in your workplace, restart in the way you healthy live, or restart in your habits, or whatever that would be. But I'm talking about restarting our faith, literally restarting our faith and restarting our relationship with Jesus and saying, okay, I'm going after you like never before. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, because you're the only one that I want. Here's what I find. You can run hard. You can run true. You can run after life. You can work hard. You can play hard. You can go after all those things. But guess what sometimes happens, if not every time? You wind up exhausted, because it's really subtle. It's really subtle between running your race after Christ and running your race. It's so subtle. I mean, this is the thing about the counterfeit and the real. It's so close you can barely tell the difference. If you could tell the difference, you wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, nobody buys a fake this or a fake that. They only do it if it looks so good you couldn't tell the difference. But I can buy it for cheaper, and so therefore I can afford it. Here's what Jesus said. You couldn't afford me, but I laid down my life for you so that I paid the price, so you can come after me. And don't make it that, well, if it only would cost me more, then I would go after Jesus. No, let's not get into that way, because we could not afford him. So he decided to lay down his life for us so that everyone could have access to him. So don't get distracted by the counterfeit or the fake or anything else. Guess what? It makes you wind up exhausted, and you say to yourself, what's life really about? If you've been asking that question over these last few weeks, I'm going to suggest to you, you've been running the wrong race. Or at least you've been dipping in and out. You've been like, you haven't been fully after Christ. Because when you're fully after him, guess what? Burning out feels normal, in the sense of, I'm giving my all for him. It's like you come home every day. You might be tired, but satisfied. You might be scared and nervous, but it's like, this is what I'm called to do. I remember many times feeling scared, nervous, anxious, afraid, but it was because I was pursuing after the things of God. I remember years ago going to lead worship. Imagine that, leading worship. I was singing, leading worship, loving to do that. But feeling sick and nervous and afraid every single time. But guess what? It was the right way to do it, because I was going after the things of God. And as I went after them, he gave me confidence, he gave me boldness, and he transformed my life. Don't go nervous, scared, afraid after anything else other than Jesus. Because guess what? You're going to wind up exhausted, you're going to wind up burnt out, and you're going to say, what was it all for? And so I'm warning you today. Don't go after and don't run the wrong race. Go after Jesus. Go after him. Lockdown has exposed every lie of I can't, I couldn't stop, I wouldn't be able to. It has exposed every lie. What do I mean by that? Because before, if I had told you, or you'd have told me that you can take 4 months off and literally not go out and maybe not be able to go to work, you would have all told me, crazy, I can't, you don't understand, there's just no way. And yet a virus came and there was a way. We had to do it. Isn't it amazing? When change is thrust upon you, you just have to do it. But what I want to encourage you with today is lockdown may have brought a change, but lockdown won't keep a change in your heart. It just won't. Lockdown won't keep a change in your heart, because the only one that can change your heart is you. The only one that can change my heart is me, with God's help, of course. But I'm the only one that makes the final decision, because God's so gracious, and he's so gracious with me, and he's so gracious with you. You have to decide. The opportunity is here. You thought it wasn't possible. You thought it wasn't possible to slow down or not work or do whatever it was that you thought you couldn't do. But now you realize everything's changeable and everything can change. And the opportunity is there for us, but it won't happen by accident, and it won't happen because of lockdown. It will happen because you decided. Will you decide to change your race? Will you decide to run a different way? Here's what I thought about running a race. There's nothing worse than running the wrong way. I tell you what's nothing worse than running the wrong race is going around in circles. Now, if you've known me for a while, you will know I love goal programs. I love the idea of like digging for gold in the ground, trying to find gold, you know, digging for treasure. I love gold. Gold Rush, love all. I've seen all the seasons. Amazing. But there's this new one out that just came out recently. I flicked it on for an hour. I think it was like gold digging in the jungle or something like that. And basically what they found was there's gold in the jungle, but it's really hard to get to. It's going to take every effort. It's going to take everything you've got, but it'll be worth it because you'll find treasure. Can I encourage you with that metaphor for life? That going after Jesus is not the easiest road. If you want to go after sin, it's the easiest way. But it'll take from you like never before, and you'll wind up in a place where you'll lose your whole self. But going after Jesus is the hardest way, but the Holy Spirit is with you. Is it easy all the time? No. There's a target on your back. The enemy is after you. But is it worth it? Will you find treasure that's worth it? Of course, because your treasure is Jesus. And there's nothing better than him, and there's nothing greater than him. And so these guys, they go into the jungle and they find the treasure, but what they realize is it's too hard to get it with just hand tools. They need an excavator. In other words, a big digger. They need a big digger. Our big digger in the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. He makes the difference. He makes the difference. So you need to seek the Holy Spirit. But anyway, they need this big digger. And they try to bring it down the river. They think, we'll bring it down the river, we'll float it down a raft, and then we'll bring it in. But when you're in the jungle, nothing ever goes easy. And so they get it on the raft, and then it won't go on the raft, and it's going to sink and different things. They decide, you know what, we're going through the jungle, the hardest route. You're going to have to knock down trees. You're going through a path that's never been before. They're going through a jungle they've never been to before. They don't know anything about it. All they know is deadly snakes and spiders. And one bite, you're dead. But they decide that the treasure is worth it. Isn't it amazing when you get your eyes on the prize, on the real prize? And I don't want you to get focused on the wrong prize, because there's fool's gold. You know, there's things out in life that just want to fool you and say, run after me and you'll be fully satisfied. And then you get them and you realize they're not. I want to give you the truth today. Jesus is the only one. And so they go after this treasure and they go day after day. But here's what happens in the middle of their journey. They get 2 days into the journey of bringing the trees down, trying to get through to the money pit, trying to get through to the place where they can dig the gold, dig the treasure. But what happens is this: it's slow going. And they say to themselves, you know what, we'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there. On the third day, they decide to go it again. They've got no map, they've no compass, they don't know the jungle. They spend the whole of that next day knocking down trees, knocking down trees, knocking down trees. Guess what happens at the end of the day? They come back to the same place they started. They went in a circle. Can I tell you that your life sometimes is going in circles, and it's because we're going after the wrong things, or maybe we've got lost along the way? Because they were going after good treasure, but they got lost along the way. They needed a guide. They needed a compass. They needed God. They needed to constantly check in with God. We needed to constantly check in with God. Eventually, they got to the treasure. Eventually, they did. But here's what I find: if you're going on the wrong race or you're going in circles, you will end up in a place of saying, I can't do this anymore. Or you'll end up in a place where to quit seems like the best option. To quit seems like the best option. To quit is never the best option. But when you've been going in circles, and you've been going the wrong path, and you've been going the wrong way, suddenly even going in circles, suddenly even quitting seems like a good option. Let me speak life to your soul today. Jesus is right there. If we will fix on him, he will take us out of our spin. He will take us out of our circle. He will put us back in the right track, and suddenly we will move forward again. He has always been with us. He has always been there. He literally needs you to say yes to him. So if you're running the wrong race or you're going in circles, let's turn around. Let's get refocused and let's go after him. Amen. Jesus is the one that's worth following. Today, I have a word for you. Today, I've got a word for you from God's word that's been tucked in there that you probably know already, but it's one that needs to be injected into your heart afresh, because simple truth is going to set you free. If you've been running the wrong race, if you need a restart, if you didn't even realize you need a restart, but now suddenly you realize I need a restart, then let me give you a word from God from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Run to me first, in other words, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You see, the trick of this life is that it wants to get us running after the things that we need and then maybe add God on at the end or some other higher power. God says, no, seek me with your whole heart. Give me your full attention and run your race after me, and watch how I will supply all of your needs. So let me show it to you in the Passion Translation. It says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. It's like that word again, that chase, that to run after. Come on, let's run after the things of God. His ways are the best way. Then all these important things will be given to you abundantly. Can you see, as we go after him, he supplies everything we need? It's not we go after the things that we need and then try to fit him in, which is what we end up a lot of the times trying to do. I'm guilty of that. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, sustain me. I don't want to go after the things. I want to go after you, and you'll give me everything I need. And all I really want is the things I need. But here's the goodness of God. He gives us abundantly. Look what it says. And he will be given to you abundantly. So he's not going to give you a little or just enough. He always gives you more than enough. It's down to trust in him. It's down to following after him. Don't run after the wrong things. Don't seek after the wrong things or the wrong person. Seek him first. Let me show it to you in the message. What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. What? Like, God wants us to relax? Of course, because think about it. He's already done it. Jesus has already won everything. He's already defeated everything. And so we don't go out anymore to chase to get this or to pay this bill or to do that. Now, that might be practically what's happening, but we are going from a place of security and peace because we've got everything that we need. Our eternal salvation has been taken care of. Our eternal destiny has been taken care of. And so every day, I'm not just going to my workplace to earn money or to pay a bill or because my boss says it, because I'm worried or afraid or whatever else you're trying to do it for. No, I'm literally going there because it's what I love to do. It's because I want to do. And it's actually, I want to be a blessing to that business. I want to be a blessing to my boss. I want to share my faith with my colleagues. I want to do something significant for the kingdom of God because I'm not just racing after those things. I'm chasing after him. He's already supplied me the things that I used to chase after, and he'll give me everything I need. So I can actually go relax. I can actually go easy. I'm not exhausted any longer. Do not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God the way he works fuss over these things. That's the way you used to be. It's not the way you are anymore. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Wow, what a relief. What an amazing God, but what an amazing relief to know that he takes care of everything. So my question today is, do you need a restart? And are you running the wrong race? And let me just bring it out to you plainly. Lockdown hit, and it suddenly hit, and it suddenly came, and we found ourselves all resting. And guess what? We kind of liked it. We kind of liked it. It was pretty good. We locked down head. And maybe, yes, of course, the first few weeks, our family were a bit of a test and a bit of a strain. But guess what? We actually liked the family time because family is best when it functions correctly and everybody's given and it's not just about taking and it's not just passing ships in the night. When family works well and they're loving and blessing each other, it's the best thing on the planet. Because guess what it resembles? It resembles the kingdom of God. That's why the body of Christ is amazing. That's why the church is so vital. That's why we're constantly encouraging ourselves and why it's been so good to meet together. It's been so good to come together again because there's something about family when we work together as God designed it. It's incredible. It's actually great. Who knew? God did. That's why he's been trying to get us to do it this whole time. And then lastly, not going out, for me, maybe you, has actually been quite a relief. I don't have to go here. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. It's been amazing to just relax and focus on the main things and actually get a rest. It's been incredible. It's been amazing. Guess what? God was right after all. Seeking him is the best way. And so how do you know that you're running the right race? Let me just challenge your heart just for a moment before we go into that bit more today. How do you know that you're running the right race? Jesus should be in front. It should be that simple. How do you know? Because Jesus is in front. Let me ask you another deep question. When was the last time you saw Jesus? When was the last time you saw Jesus as you prayed, as you read, as you worshiped, as you shared your faith? When was the last time? Was it this week? When was the last time you saw Jesus this week? You know what I mean? You were there with him. You were running after him. You were following after him. As Christians, we've got to ask ourselves this question because guess what? Otherwise, we might be going after the wrong things and we don't even realize it. We might be neglecting our first love and we haven't quite spotted it yet. So where's Jesus and where has he been this week in your life? Where has the evidence of him in your life been this week in your prayer, your worship, your everyday going, your sharing your faith, your all of that good stuff? But where has he been? If you haven't seen him this week, then maybe you need to make a change because Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Who's ready for a restart? Who's ready for a restart? Here's what I love about restarting. Let me give you two definitions. We get to start again. Wow. Do you remember years ago, you're maybe playing the PlayStation, or maybe you still are, and you get to restart. It's amazing. It's like I died, but I get to restart. Or maybe you played a board game and you lost it and you want to go for it again. My girls, they always want to win. If they don't win, we have to do another game. Okay, you can win. You know, you kind of have to engineer it. But there's something about restarting that's amazing because you get to start again. What about starting again in your walk with God? What about literally starting again in your life and following after Jesus this time instead of doing it your way? Second one, you get to go from the beginning. You get a new beginning. The thing about restarting is you get a new beginning. If you played Super Mario years ago or you played the games years ago, you got three lives. When you get to start over again, you get to start from the beginning. So you get three brand new lives. For us as Christians, for us as people, we have an opportunity now to restart and literally start from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning in our prayer. Let's start from the beginning in our reading, in our worshiping, in our everyday lives, in our workplace, in our families. Let's start from the beginning and let's make it all about Him and following after Him. Because guess what? When we do, all these things that we need will be added to us. All those everyday things will be added to us abundantly because we serve a good God. And if we're going to restart today, and that's what I'm urging you to do, if we're going to restart, then we've got to go back to the cross. It's a brilliant place to restart from because the cross is what changed everything. Amen? The cross is what changed everything. Before that, sin ruled and reigned in everyone's life. There was no way out of it. But since the cross, because of His precious blood, because of what Jesus did on the cross, He literally set us free. And if we say yes to Him, then we can live a life of freedom. And that's what I'm most concerned with for my life and most concerned with your heart. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Your new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. Let me just speak some life into your heart today. Because you might know this verse and you might even be following after this verse, but whatever's going on in your life, you're not following Jesus. And you don't know the reality of this verse in your life. But let's inject it afresh into our hearts. Let's inject it afresh into our lives today. This is who you are. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has literally gone and the new is here. And we're going to spend some time looking at it today. If you're a new creation in Christ, if you're a new Christian, you're now dead to sin. Before you were dead in sin, now you're dead to sin because of faith, because of Jesus, because of His incredible love. You have a brand new opportunity every single day to follow after Him. He's literally doing brand new things in your life every single day. Every single day. And every time sin starts to raise its head again in our lives, or it starts to become dominant again in our lives, guess what? We are losing our freedom and we're starting to live like a slave. We're not a slave because we're sons and daughters in Christ. But when we start to live like that, we start to live like a slave, which means you might as well be a slave because it's the way it's working itself out into your life. So I'm urging for a restart in your life. I'm urging that there'll be a change. So I want to ask three quick questions today. We're going to look at them for a few moments. How are you dealing with being a new creation? How are you dealing with the old and that it's gone? And how are you dealing with the new and that it's here? And I want us to look at those three quickly together today. Number one, new creation. You are a new creation. You're a new creation. And I want to speak about your life and your soul. This is the thing about God. He has made you a new creation. Now, this is in spiritual context, but it affects every part of our lives. If you've seen home improvement program, if you've seen a makeover program, that's not what God has done in your life. He's literally made you a new creation. Now, how did He do it and where did He take it from? Literally nothing. Because in the same way as He created the earth from nothing and He created the heavens from nothing, He's done the same in your life. He has taken your life and He has made you a new creation because He didn't need to work with any of the old stuff from before. He literally did it from nothing. And He did something wonderful in your life. He hasn't fixed you up. He hasn't made you up. He hasn't just made some changes and some alterations to make you a tiny bit better. He has literally transformed you. You are a new creation. How does that sound in your heart today? How does that sound in your heart today? This is what you need to hear to allow you to break through into the new things that Christ has got for you. He has literally done new in your heart. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are constantly in a change season. This is good news. We don't like change, but in Christ, we're constantly in a change season because he's constantly taking us from ever-increasing glory. His love is flowing into our hearts. His life is flowing into us. The Holy Spirit is with us, and things are changing constantly in our lives. And I need you to know this in your heart today, especially if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, this is who you can have. You can have this new creation. You can have this new life. Jesus literally wants to transform you. But if you're a Christian, I'm speaking to your heart, and I'm speaking life to your soul. See, you will no longer be the same again. No longer. Here's what I love about his new creation. He always gives you more than you think. Just recently, I got a new car. Had to bring it down to the garage. And they said to me, good news, sir. Not only are we going to fix what you wanted us to fix, we're going to take out the old part, and we're going to put a brand new part in, free of charge. This is what God does in our lives. He takes out the old, and he puts brand new inside. He's not fixing you up. He's making you brand new. You need to know that today. Don't live old, defeated. He has made you brand new. You see, your life is like a seed. He has taken, even the old parts of your life, he has taken. He's literally put it into the ground, and out of that, something has sprung up. And here's the thing. You've been planted in Christ by Christ, and he is producing good in your life. And out of that, guess what's going to happen? The seed will never be seen again, but the fruit will. And there's fruit growing in your heart, and I need you to know this today. There is fruit growing in your life. You might not have seen it in a while, but I'm going to tell you, focus back on Christ, follow after him, and watch how it starts to grow again. Watch how it starts to come again. Watch whatever has been lost starts to move again, and something starts to happen, because in Christ you are a new creation. I need you to know this. Fruit is coming from the root. If you're not seeing much fruit, then check the root, check your source. If you're not seeing the fruit that you want in your life, you're not seeing the good fruit in your life, then check the root and make sure it's Jesus and not someone else. Because if it's somebody else, you're not going to get what you want. You've got to refocus, get back to the source, get back to him, and make the change. Question, if you're feeling dead or producing no fruit, check your root. Check your source. Number two, the old is gone. Here's what I love about the old. The old has literally gone. All that stinky sin. All that sin that messed you up, that held you back, that just literally was no good and was killing you, God has taken it away from your life. This is what I love about Jesus. He has taken this sin away, and he has nailed it. So I want to encourage you again. You might know this, but I got to remind you of it. As we restart, your shame has been nailed to the cross. Every regret has been nailed to the cross. Every mistake you have made has been nailed to the cross. Every wrong thing that you did by choice or by accident or unintentionally has been nailed to the cross. It's all been nailed to the cross, and we've got to leave it there, because guess what? If we don't, we pick it back up and we start to condemn ourselves. And when we start to condemn ourselves, then we start to live like slaves again, and we forget to live like sons and daughters. But you're a new creation in Christ. Here's what Jesus has literally done. He has detached you from all of those things. If you were like a person with all these weights and all these strings and all these ropes, he has come with his incredible holy scissors, and he has chopped off all of those ropes, all of those things that were weighing you down, and suddenly you're free. Now, what I've seen sometimes is that we are so used to the weight in our lives, we say to ourselves, man, I'm not quite comfy with this weightlessness. I'm not quite comfy with, you know, just being free and having no hang-ups. And so we start to pick some other new things up, and we start to get used to it again, and we start to do this again, we start to do that again. Can I urge you not to do that? Can I urge you, get comfortable with trusting Jesus the whole way? Get comfortable with him being the supplier of everything? Get comfortable with him being your everything? You don't need that weight in your life. It's just you've been so used to it for so long, you think you need it back. I'm telling you, you do not need it. Watch out for that missing the weight thing and you wanting to bring some weight back onto your life. You don't need it. By grace, we're going to let go today. By grace, we're going to leave it alone. By grace, we're going to move forward and literally step into that new creation life that God has given us. Sin. Can I talk about sin? Because I know we don't want to talk about it. I know we don't want to get there. And it would be nice to just forget about it. But I want to talk about sin for just a moment. And here's why I want to talk about it. Because there's sin in our lives. Now, can we be perfect in terms of no more sinning? Not really. But our direction is to head towards it. our direction definitely is, because we're no longer slaves to sin. It's no longer, we're no longer out of control. We're in control. Remember that night, because we have authority from Jesus and we have been built by him and we are new creations and we have his authority. So we're no longer slaves to it any longer. But watch out when there's sin running in our lives, that we start to justify it. We start to get defensive about it. When somebody calls us out on us, we're like, we find a verse for it and we back it up. And I want to convict your heart. If you're backing up your sin with a verse or with a good idea or with a justification, let's cancel it in Jesus' name, because ultimately it is robbing from you your new creation life. It is robbing from you your freedom. Or maybe you're not justifying it, but you've got used to it because you've tried to deal with it and you just say to yourself, well, look, at the end of the day, I'm never going to be perfect, and so I'll keep on going. Can I tell you, you are perfect in Christ and the Holy Spirit is sustaining you and he's going to bring you through, but don't give up. Don't give up. Allow your brothers and sisters to come around you. Guess what the Bible tells us to do? Confess our sins one to another. Don't get defensive, but start to confess. Don't hold it in, but start to reveal it. And watch how other friends and people will come around you and they will love you through and you'll be free from it. Romans 6:6. Let me read it quickly for the sake of time. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Our old life has been done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Our sin has been done away with. Our sin has been done away with. Will we ever be sin-free in this life? No. But through his help, we will overcome again and again and again and again. So don't sit in your sin. Don't rest in your sin. Don't be satisfied with your sin. Give it away to him. Tell others to pray for you and let's break free totally from it. Every time it comes, let's break it again. Every time it comes, let's break it again. Because we once were helpless to sin. We once were bound by sin. Now we are free from it. Even though we're still involved and it's still around, but we're free from it. And God's bringing us through. And then lastly, it's that new way to live. It's that new life. I love new things. Can I tell you this just for a moment? I love new things. I love getting new things. I love buying new things. I love having new things. But guess what? I'm just going to blame God, because new things is in our DNA. It's been there from Genesis right through to Revelation. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Jesus is coming. He's going to do something new. Behold, can you perceive it? It's springing up. I'm bringing a new heaven, a new earth. I'm bringing you from glory to glory every day. I'm doing something new in your life every moment of every day. It's just new, new, new. There's something amazing about new. And God says, I'm doing new things in your life every day. You've literally got to receive it. You've literally, by faith, got to take it. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Let's not conform. Let's not run the same race as everybody else. Let's not run the same race as any other Christian. Let's run our race, the one that's unique to us, the one where we run after Jesus. We don't go around in circles. We don't run somewhere else. We don't try to fit him in. We don't get complacent, but we fix our eyes on him and we literally go after him. So we end where we began. Do you need a restart? Don't run the wrong race or follow the wrong person, but let's come after him. Can I give you a last couple of verses as we finish? Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You see, the race of God is that you would race after him. The race of God, the race of this life, is the race after Jesus. And when you do, it's a place of rest, comfort, and peace. And then from that place, we move and do all things. Here's what the Message translation says, and I just love it because, again, I think it pulls out what we're talking about today. Step out of the traffic. How appropriate is that? Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Let's step out of the traffic. Let's step out of the silly old races that we've done before, and let's race our lives after Jesus. He's the only one that's worth it. Hebrews 12:1. Let's read it again. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Do you need a restart?